ध्यायामोदकलावगुण्डनपतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we'll be starting the fourth chapter of Bhakti Sutra starting the next day. So today we'll see a summary, and not a summary but like introduction of the fourth chapter, as well as trying to, since we didn't have this discussion for a few days, so getting back on focus, or getting back our focus on the subject matter. So subject matter of Bhakti Sutra is, of course, Bhakti Sutra means Bhakti, it's about Bhakti. That Bhakti which Narada defined as Parama Prema Rupam and Amrita Swarupam. So that which is of the nature, that which is, which can be achieved through pure or complete love, and which gives us the fruit of Amritam, which is Amritam in nature. So that is Bhakti, that is Bhakti as per Narada. And Krishna also has used Bhakti in many places. Bhaktya mam abhijanati, so Bhaktya labhyas tvananyaya. And then of course the 7th chapter, Chaturvidha bhajanti mam jana sukritino arjuna. So bhaktas. And also speaking about Bhakti in particular in the 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti, what is Bhakti? So Parama Prema Rupam, supreme love. So what is supreme love? So supreme love, if we look at love at the empirical level, worldly love, when do we say we are in love with someone? Or something for that matter. So we are in love with somebody, someone or something, when we cannot forget the person. Of course, that's how a person finds out that I am in love with you. I am in love with this laptop. I am in love with TV. I am in love with Rajinikanth. I am in love with Kate Winslet. How does a person say that? Person says that because he cannot be without remembrance of the person, that is when a person becomes or falls in love with something. So the same rule applies for this love, supreme love as well. Of course, the rule of love is the same for anything and everything. So in this case, Parama Premam, supreme love. So supreme love for what? Satu Asmin. So Asmin means, what is that Asmin? Amrita Swarupam, that which is Amritam in nature, immortal in nature. So worldly love is based on, or is upon the object, falls upon the object, or the Vishayam for worldly love is, of course, world which is anityam and asukham. So that is not amrutam, but love for Ishvara, that Ishvara who like from whom the world has come, in whom the world resides, and onto whom the world merges at the time of destruction. That means that Ishvara who is the substratum of the world, Janmadyasya yataha. So that Ishvara is immortal. He is immortal because he is Sachidanandam in nature. There is no time when such an Ishvara ceases to exist. So such an Ishvara cannot be destroyed through any means. So Nainam Chindanti Shastrani Nainam Dahati Pavakaha. So in that shloka, in the second chapter of Gita, Krishna says that this Atman or Ishvara cannot be wet, cannot be burned, like he cannot be immersed underwater. Weapons cannot destroy this Ishvara. So he cannot be destroyed by any means, any ways, because he is the subject of everything, he is the basis of everything, he is the source of everything. So all those are different ways to explain or put the same concept in different words. Same concept in different words. So Ishvara. So towards Ishvara, when love is directed towards Ishvara, when the Vishayam of love and the subject, or like when the object of love becomes Ishvara, that is when it becomes, or it is called as Bhakti. And Parama Prema Rupam means a person who is always thinking about Ishvara. Naradastu tad arpita akila acharata tad vismarane paramavyakulata cha. So Narada defined Bhakti as always remembering Ishvara, offering all actions to Ishvara, and not forgetting the Ishvara at any point of time, becoming really sad when Ishvara is forgotten, which means not forgetting Ishvara at all. Or Ishvara arpiram naichaya kratam, doing actions as an offering to Ishvara without any craving for fruit, because there is nothing to crave for a bhakta. Ishvara alone exists. Of course, jnanam about Ishvara swarupam is already there in bhakti, because without that, bhakti tad vihinam jaranam eva. Like, if there is no knowledge about Ishvara's nature, then in that case it becomes false love, it becomes temporary love, cheating love, it becomes a kind of treachery. Tatra apina mahatmya jnana vismrati apavadaha. There mahatmya jnanam, Ishvara's mahatmyam, is not forgotten, it cannot be forgotten. Without Ishvara mahatmya jnanam Ishvara's. So what is mahatmya jnanam? Mahatmya jnanam means like Ishvara is all, like Ishvara can do this, he can do that, he has dashavatara, he is like the subject matter of scriptures, he can come down to earth and then save us. No, mahatmyam means greatness. The greatness of Ishvara is that he is great. Brahman, brahatvat iti brahma. So brahma, brahman means brahat, that which is big, or mahat. So mahatmya means it is very big. It is, how big is it? Infinite. How can we like define infinity? Infinity means like whatever is there is only that entity. That's how infinity can be superimposed or perceived in finite world. So that means Ishvara is great. Ishvara's greatness is because Ishvara is everything, because Ishvara is immortal, because Ishvara is Advitiya Satyam. So that is always there in bhakti. So a person who falls in love with something he doesn't know, that love will not last for long. That's where many people get married, love marriage, and then immediately after 1 month they get divorced, because that love marriage was like there was not much time in that given in that love. So the two people meet, they love each other, and immediately they marry, not knowing the other person. Knowledge is lacking there. Since knowledge is lacking, such a love is not permanent, it becomes temporary. So that applies to Ishvara's case as well. If we are not aware of Ishvara's nature as all pervasive Advitiya Satyam, which also means that Ishvara is the Eka Ashrayam, the only, the sole, sole supporting factor for us. This, the only person who can save us, the only person who can take us away from dukkham, the only person who can give us anandam. So that knowledge has to be there. Without that knowledge, love for Ishvara will not be parama premam. It will be just normal premam. And normal premam will vanish after some time. The maximum the normal premam can remain is till the end of this birth, or maybe two or three births. After that it will vanish, or its intensity will get reduced. So people get married and after a few years they'll say that, we don't love each other that much as we used to when during initial days. So that's because if in love knowledge is not there, in love, in bhakti knowledge is not there, then there are chances to fall down. For a seeker, for a sadhaka, for a bhakta who knows Ishvara's nature as advitiya satyam, that which alone exists and that which can take the person, the devotee, away from the sorrowful anityam asukam lokam, then imam prapya bhajasvamam. So when a person knows that he is in this sorrowful world and Ishvara is the only way out, then it will be pure love or true love. True devotion is when a seeker always remembers that there are only two things here. So one is Ishvara, who is real, who is blissful in nature, who is advitiyam, and the second is jagat, which is unreal, which is temporary, which is sorrowful, and which is based on dvaitam. That which is based on dvaitam can only give us dukkham, mrityo samrityam gacchati yaiha nana iva pashyati. Person who sees duality will go from mrityu to mrityu, or such a person will suffer again and again. So a seeker has to always remember that this anityam asukam lokam, I am in this anityam asukam lokam, therefore I need to get devoted to Ishvara. I'll be focused on Ishvara. I will get pure love, true devotion to Ishvara. So what is true love? You have already given its nature, but can you define it a bit more? Can you define it like you have, Narada, you have given bhakti sadhanas. You spoke about bhakti swarupam, bhakti mahatvam, bhakti sadhanas and all. But can you give more characteristics of a person who is a true devotee? Or can you define love or premam a little bit more? Of course, bhakti sadhanas have, like there we have seen quite a lot of sadhanas which can help a seeker cross over maya, kastarati maya. So there in the four sutras, Narada gave lot of sadhanas as to how to cross over. So there it is, sadhanas are things to be performed, things to be implemented. Now, like, how will a person who has love behave? Can you define love so that at least I can judge myself whether I have it or not? Of course, all these are different perspectives to the same thing. Bhakti swarupam means speaking about bhakti as such. Bhakti sadhanas means speaking of bhakti with respect to the path, with respect to achieving bhakti. And defining bhakti is with respect to trying to judge oneself, trying to find out a true bhakta. How can we find true bhakta? And that is what Narada takes up in the fourth chapter. So the fourth chapter, which has 16 sutras, is titled Prema Nirvachanam. Nirvachanam means defining or definition, premam, of love. Of course, Parama Prema Rupam. So Parama Premam, Supreme Premam is Bhakti. Therefore, Prema Nirvachanam, defining that love. So here it's not worldly love, it is supreme love that is going to be defined. So if we ask a person who is in true love, true love at the worldly perspective or worldly love, we ask the person, okay, can you define love? Can such a person define love? Definitely no. Love is something which is beyond definition. It is something which is a matter of experience. It is not subject to words. So this is where we find that bhakti that Narada speaks is the same as jnanam. Both go hand in hand. So yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha or mano vacha agochara brahman is beyond words and thoughts, inexpressible. The same thing, a worldly love itself is something which we cannot define clearly. It is something which we can experience. Then how can true love, love towards Ishvara, be defined? So it cannot be defined. So it cannot be defined. It is something which has to be experienced. But still, even as Brahman cannot be defined or expressed through words, Brahman can be hinted at in many ways. At the worldly perspective or from the worldly level, empirical level, Brahman, though Brahman is ultimately indefinable or undefinable, whatever is the word, cannot be defined, but still it can, like, we can hint at Brahman. That is what the Shastras do. So put in Paramatma's terminology, the Shastras are like a mirror. They show, like, they help us in knowing our seeing our own face. So they don't show the face. Of course, they cannot show the face. The face they show is itself is not the same face. Whatever is left becomes right, right becomes left. So things are not exactly the same. But still they hint that they help us to identify ourselves. Similarly, there are ways in which a person, like, or a person can hint at love. So that is what Narada takes up here. And Narada is very compassionate that he takes this up. He takes this up because he is compassionate and he wants all bhaktas to find out as to how to find a true bhakta, how to become a true bhakta. What are the definitions? How is bhakti defined? What are the deeper characteristics of bhakti? And that is what Narada explains here. So bhakti sadhanas, we can also say in, like, we can say that bhakti sadhana is with respect to achieving bhakti, and prema nirvachanam is with respect to how a bhakta will be doing actions, activities that happen from a bhakta. That is what is explained here, nirvachanam. So swarupam, the nature of bhakti, bhakti sadhanas is with respect to how to become a bhakta, and here nirvachanam is when the activities or traits of a bhakta are explained. Often even in the 12th chapter of Gita, Krishna first defines as to what is true bhakti. So what is bhakti? He defines bhakti and then he gives out the ways to achieve bhakti. So he says, mai eva mana adatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mai eva ata udvamna samshayah. So there, the way, fix your mind and fix your intellect. So remembering in the mind that everything is Ishvara, remembering Ishvara and knowing Ishvara as all-pervasive, that is fixing the mind and intellect both. So, and then, like, he goes on to say abhyasam and other ways. So that is sadhana. Before that, he defines as to bhakti, like bhakti. He defines bhakti as sagunam and nirgunam. And he starts by saying, So, definition, bhakti swarupam, nature of bhakti, it's not exactly, it's not defining. So, definition, difference between definition and just the nature is, nature means like it is given at a, what is a generic level, and definition means we have to speak about all aspects. So there, Swarupam of Bhakti was given in a brief way. And then Bhakti, like as to how to achieve or to become a Bhakta, and then finally the traits of a Bhakta, and that is what happens here. So Prema Nirvachanam means defining love, or in other words, here activities of or traits of a true Bhakta is being explained as to how a Bhakta will behave. And of course, it's very simple. A Bhakta, in short, a Bhakta will always be thinking about Ishvara. A true Bhakta who has Parama Premam, who has true love, pure love, incomplete, unconditional love towards Ishvara, not incomplete, sorry, complete and unconditional love towards Ishvara. Such a Bhakta will be always thinking about Ishvara. He cannot stop thinking about Ishvara at any point of time. That Narada will explain in one of the sutra as well. So that is in short or in brief, if we have to say as to what would be the traits of a Bhakta. A Bhakta will always try to remember Ishvara. A Bhakta's activities will be all directed towards Ishvara, either directly or indirectly, which means either externally or internally, both ways. If possible, both ways a Bhakta will try to always bring in Ishvara. Ishvara will be part and parcel of the Bhakta. A Bhakta doesn't have doesn't have any separate or independent existence from Ishvara. Bhakta will always be the same as Ishvara. A Bhakta doesn't exist without Ishvara. Ishvara Smarana is always there with the Bhakta, and that is what is in short Premam Nirvachanam. Definition of this Bhakti is a Bhakta creates a castle, like if we can say the Bhakta creates a castle filled with Ishvara's thoughts around him or her. So Ishvara's presence can be felt from a Bhakta or in the presence of a Bhakta. So that's why what Krishna says, Abhito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Viditatmanam. Around a person who is realized, bliss will be dancing. Bliss means Amritam or Anandam. So around a Bhakta, we can feel the vibes of Ishvara. A Bhakta will be speaking about Ishvara. A Bhakta will be singing about Ishvara. A Bhakta will be pleased to listen about Ishvara. A Bhakta will be around other Bhaktas. A Bhakta will be creating revolution around him. A Bhakta will be creating more Bhaktas. A Bhakta will be creating temples wherever he goes. In brief, a Bhakta who has Parama Prema Rupam, who is a true Bhakta, such a person becomes synonymous with Ishvara. And that is the goal of Bhakti Sutra, wherein a sadhaka becomes immersed in Ishvara's thought, that he always remembers that Ishvara alone exists here. And such a state will take the Bhakta beyond sorrows, and thereby like the Bhakta will be ever rejoicing in bliss. Nandati Nandati Nandatyeva. May Amma bless us so that we may, after learning this chapter of Prema Nirvachanam, we may be able to identify as to what we lack with respect to our activities, both external and internal, thereby mend our ways so that we may become true Bhaktas in this very birth and ever rejoice in bliss. We'll continue the next day, I'm sure.